Well, we're thinking about hope this morning, and I want to suggest that Christian hope is more than just wishful thinking. I wish for this or for that, a few of those comments that came up on the screen just a few minutes ago, that something might happen, but not really certain, not really sure that they will, but we hope that they will. That's a sort of a more wishful sort of thinking about the future, isn't it? That some situation in my life might change, or that some blessing might flow to myself or somebody else. And I think often the word hope is used in that sort of understanding in our world today, something which is a little bit wishful, something that is not planted on any particularly firm foundation, but something that we might hope to see happen in the future. Christian hope is based, rather than that wishful type of thinking, on the objective promises of God, isn't it? And as we come to this season of Advent, as we light the candle of hope, we light the candle of hope understanding that God has promised things for his people and for his world that we can have a sure hope in seeing realised. They'll be ultimately consummated in God's plans and purposes for his world and for his people. And they come to their primary focus and their primary consummation in a person, in Jesus. And that's what we spend time, don't we, in preparing ourselves for remembering the time Jesus came to live amongst us and looking forward to a time when he will come again. All of the readings in the lectionary, if we did all of the readings in the lectionary this morning, are looking forward rather than backwards. We don't get to the nativity scene in our church calendar until about the week or two before Christmas, which reminds us of Jesus' first coming. But these readings that are set for today are about looking towards his second coming, that there is a promise that is still to be realised and which is the basis for our hope, Jesus' life, death, and in particular, his resurrection. Sunday is the day on which we come to celebrate his resurrection life. So the resurrection is absolutely crucial to our hope. Paul said to the church in Corinth, if Christ is not risen, then the apostles were liars and our faith is vain. If Christ is not risen, we're still held guilty for our sins and no forgiveness has occurred. If Christ is not risen, those who have died as Christians have perished and they're lost. If Christ is not risen, then we do not have, in the words of Scripture, a living hope. Instead, we're to be pitied more than others, says the Apostle Paul. The fact is that Jesus rising and the fact that he has risen gives us reason for a living hope. He is a living hope. Since Jesus rose from the dead, we have a firm hope that we too will one day rise from the dead and be with him and with God the Father forever. And so it's pinned and based, that Christian hope is based on the solid rock of the historical life, death and resurrection of our Lord and our Saviour. And it changes the perspective that we can have on life. It opens up our possibilities of living with a hopeful attitude and hopeful approach, even in the midst of some of the difficulties and concerns that might be thrown up in our lives from time to time. I like the polar bear. He's putting his feet on a firm foundation. At least we hope this is a firm foundation that he's coming up onto. There were a couple of other shots where he was floundering a bit and not getting out of the water. But he's put his hope in the firm foundation that he can come out of the water and stand on something which will hold him and hold his weight and be a place of safety and security. I want to talk a little bit about the character of Christian hope. Christian hope shows itself in endurance, doesn't it? In some cases, even survival in the face of overwhelming violence and suffering. There was a study done a number of years ago about those prisoners who were in concentration camps in the Second World War and why some people died and some people lived, even though they were subject to the same conditions and the same lack of food and the same deprivations and the same violence. And one of the key things that was found was that those who had a hope tended to be the ones who survived. That even in the midst of all of the pain and suffering that they were experiencing, those who were still hopeful of a better thing to come somehow were sustained in the midst of all their concern. Those who had no hope tended to roll over and die. That's not the only thing, I'm sure, but hope can bring life. And it shows itself so often in endurance, in enduring through those difficult times. Still hopeful, still trusting, still people of faith. It shows itself in trust. Trust in the promises of God, that they are true and that they are reliable. And so often we're reminded about this by Ian at our parish council meeting on Wednesday night. As we look back about God's goodness in our lives, we can see so often how he has provided good things and sustained us through difficult times. And the scripture is full of that. If you go to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, you see the saints of the past who look back on the way God had sustained their people Israel right through the Old Testament, hadn't given up on them, that there was still a hope for the future. They look forward to a Messiah who would come and make things new. And in the New Testament, you look at the hope that is recited in a prayer like Mary's song. She looks back on the way that God has been faithful to the people right through her ancestors and even to her in her circumstances of being becoming announced as the mother of Jesus. She can see the good things and she has a hope for the future about what this will all bring, as have the people of God throughout. I will trust in the Lord is a common refrain. We're encouraged in John's Gospel by Jesus himself. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come and take you to be where I am. You know, there's that trust. It shows itself, hope, in patience, in waiting. Waiting, as I say, even in the midst of suffering and in the face of tribulation. Hope's more than that, though, as well, isn't it? Hope is about transformation of the world and transformed relationships with God and with one another. In July of 1999, the Anglican Archbishop of South Africa, his name was Reverend Nonkululeko Nungani. It's quite a long word. Nonkululeko Nungani. He was taken to the American Liberty Bell by a friend when he was visiting. He'd followed Archbishop Tutu as the Archbishop in South Africa, and in the early 60s had spent time in Rhode Island with Nelson Mandela in prison. He'd never seen the Liberty Bell, but it was quickly clear to the Archbishop that the Archbishop knew more about the bell than his guide, the park ranger, who was taking him there. For he started to speak of the importance of the inscription that was on the bell, which comes from the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Proclaim liberty throughout the land until all the inhabitants thereof. Proclaim liberty throughout the land until all the inhabitants thereof is inscribed on the bells. Comes, as I say, from Leviticus. And he said to the guide, the passage is not about liberty in an American sense. It actually refers to the year of Jubilee, which comes in Scripture as you read about the year of Jubilee every 50 years. Was a time when justice was done and people were returned to be able to be full participants in the life of the people of Israel. The bell was commissioned on the 50th anniversary of the American Charter of Privileges that guaranteed freedoms which the American people stood for. The liberty, the Archbishop continued, is from God. A liberty of righteousness where no person or nation oppresses the other, where people are free from slavery, debt, hunger, and injustice. It's the liberty of a perfect peace. Tour guide looked a little bit taken back by all of this. Why do you know so much about our bell? He asked. On Rhode Island, the Archbishop replied, we heard about this bell and we hoped it to be true. Now, I see it is. Hopes about transformation and transformed relationships in our world. And Christian hope is so often the currency of the poor and the oppressed and the marginalised. I've spoken about that in relation to our visit to Rwanda a number of times, where people, even in the midst of the deprivations that they experienced, had this hope that one day God would bring about renewal and restoration and that they would be in a better place. Benjamin Franklin once quipped, who lives on hope will die fasting. Yet such realism suggests that it's all too hard, that nothing can change, and in doing so, it often serves to perpetuate violence and injustice and oppression, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. Conversely, hope gives rise to envisaging a different future, to what can and will be. It brings light into darkness and it promises a vision of what can be. So where does this sort of hope originate? How do we have that sort of hope and live those sorts of lives? Well, a passage this morning in the very last verse helps us understand a little bit about that. It suggests that hope is both located in God and is the gift of God through his Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's located in God, and it is a gift of God to us, made real in our lives by the witness of God, the Holy Spirit's indwelling. At the height of the apartheid regime in South Africa, David Frost asked Archbishop Desmond Tutu if he was optimistic about the chances of a non-violent movement succeeding in getting Nelson Mandela released from prison and the votes for the Indigenous people of South Africa. What do I have to be optimistic about? Tutu replied. But then he added, but I believe we will succeed. I am a prisoner of hope. It's an allusion to the prophet Zechariah. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to double. The use of that double means to just the right amount, to what would bring about the fulfilment and the culmination of that hope. And the sentiment echoes throughout Scripture. If you read Scripture, hope becomes one of those hallmark characteristics of God and his people. Hope gives us the vision to see the world not as it is, but as God means it to be. It's hope that fuels the religious conviction that God reigns and that peace and justice are possible. And yet it's a hope that's based not on things temporal, but on things eternal. The Catechism of the Episcopal Church says, "What is Christian hope?" is the question that it asks. And the answer, the Christian hope is to live with confidence in newness and fullness of life and to await the coming of Christ in glory and the completion of God's purposes for the world. The Christian hope is to live with confidence in newness and fullness of life and to await the coming of Christ in glory and the completion of God's purpose for the world. And I find it comforting that it has that eternal perspective, and it's so often linked with a number of the other characteristics of our Christian faith. Christian hope is linked, might even be seen to give rise to faith and love and to joy and peace so often in our scriptures. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And from Peter's letter, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. A living hope. It's an eschatological hope, an end times hope, where all will be made new, where justice will prevail, where God's name will be honoured, and where he will be glorified in all his majesty. So what about you? Where is your hope? What gives rise to your hope? What gives rise to hope within you? What motivates your life, gives sense and meaning, joy and peace to your life? Is it some vain or wishful thinking, or is it found in the knowledge and love of God and our Lord Jesus, in the witness of the Holy Spirit in your life? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. You can respond. Alleluia. Amen.